Thank you for listening to Lone Star Community Radio. This program was broadcasted and recorded live from the LSCR studios in downtown Conroe, Texas. Lone Star Community Radio is supported by listeners like you. Donate and sponsor today. For more information on getting involved with Lone Star Community Radio, contact us at lscrstudios@gmail.com or visit us online at www.irlonestar.com.
Welcome back to the Misunderstood Show. Today we have Freddie Palomares. How do you say it?
Palomares.
How do you say it in Mexican?
Palomares.
There you go. Palomares.
Palomares, yeah.
It's like Matamoros. It's Matamoros.
Yeah, just like that.
Or they say Tamaulipas. And my people say Tamaulipas. There's a lot of stuff I learned in the valley. We were just talking about when I lived down there. It was fun. My son was born in Edinburgh, which is right next to McAllen.
Yeah.
So he actually is late Mexican. RGB. I was telling you he looks Mexican.
Yeah.
He really is like a Mexican. It's funny because down there, there's a lot of Spanish, you know, redhead. They have like that dark auburn hair and freckles. And they still tan, but they have freckles and dark auburn, beautiful. Mm. It's like brownish red. It's a beautiful hair. And they're tan with freckles. So it's really cool. And that's very common. You don't see it around here.
No, you don't.
But you see them down there. They're all from like Monterey.
Yeah, Monterey's a lot of light skin.
Yes.
Blonde hair. That's actually
Spanish.
We have Spanish family that lives there, and they are very light skinned and they have light brown hair.
So when he was born in the hospital down there, it was like overcrowded because all these people come from across the border to have babies. They're called anchor babies.
Mm-hmm.
They pay cash so they can become citizens. I didn't know that till I lived there. I was like, oh, that's how they're doing it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame the moms at all, but these moms are like 13, 14 years old, a lot of them. It's crazy. I go to the doctor and there's like 13-year-olds in there, and the mom was my, like her mom, the grandma was my age. Because I was older when I had kids.
Oh, yeah.
I started having kids at like 28, 32, you know. So it was weird. But it's their culture. It is what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it just...
It was like totally normal for girls to be pregnant in high school or middle school or drop out.
Wow.
Yeah. It's definitely a different culture. And that was more prevalent in the smaller towns like Weslaco and not so much in like Harlingen and places, but the little towns outside.
Yeah.
I saw a lot down there. I saw people that live in like shacks with like dirt floors. And I worked for a company as a photographer. I was a photographer down there. I did a lot of quinceañeras, fun stuff. We did a quinceañera.
Lots of good parties.
I did a quinceañera at a strip club in Weslaco one time.
Wow.
They rented the whole place.
With the poles still there and everything?
Oh, yeah. Girls, 12-year-old girls dancing on poles. I mean, it was, I was like, this is not for me.
Wow.
I had to be escorted to my car because it's so dangerous. They had like security, like escort every single person to their car. It's different. And
yeah.
This was 2008, 2009, 2010 when the Zetas were just terrible. They were shooting people left and right. I mean, they would be at a light, and this is what I was told. I was like, if you're at a stoplight and the car in front of you doesn't go, do not honk at them. And I was like, why?
Yeah.
They're like, they will literally get out and shoot you. I was like, they would have like these signs on the road, on the highways that would tell you like if it was safe to come out of your house that day. It would be like, you know, green, yellow, red. And it was always yellow, but sometimes it was red. And that meant like, do not leave your house unless it's an absolute necessity.
It's teaching you patience.
It was different. Wow. It was just a whole different, like once you pass through the King Ranch to the other side, you're in a different country.
Yeah.
It's not Texas, really.
That's a nice long 45-minute drive or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's different. You know, you get to Falfurrias and they have the border check. And I was real tan down there. And my hair is actually darker. I highlighted it a few years ago and it's just growing out. But my hair is actually like dark, you know, darker. In the summer, I get real dark. And my son is real dark. And we come back and they'd be like talking to me like, making me say all these sentences and stuff. And I'm like, I'm American.
Check this out.
He's not Mexican, I promise. His dad is like super white. Then his dad, if his dad was driving, they wouldn't even question us because he's like white on rice, you know, blue eyes, white boy. And so, you know, I'm like, this is profiling.
Yeah. You know, they never questioned me when I went by. I just said, hey, guys. And they're like, oh, okay, bye.
They probably thought you were Indian.
Maybe. Maybe.
We were talking about how you could pass for an Indian and how you should be an Indian for Halloween and have Sonu as your prop.
We will see.
That would be so funny. It would be so funny. I don't know, especially if you were the Indian from The Simpsons.
Yeah, Apu.
Yeah, that would be really funny.
Yeah, that would be a good costume.
It would. And they have predicted so much.
Oh, yeah. They know exactly what's going on next year. It's
very scary. I don't even want to watch it because I don't want to know.
Yeah, right? It's like...
it's freaky.
I don't know how many predictions, like 30 or 40 predictions. Everyone's like, whoa.
That we've caught on to.
Yeah.
That's the thing is they're saying that there's more, but we just haven't really like, you don't catch everything. Mm-hmm. All the little details. It's like the Disney movies when we call little details.
Yeah.
Later on. I still have those VHSs.
Well, you know, and also in The Simpsons, they have like the aliens and they have the UFOs like for a few years.
But they're not actually like from other planets. They're from our planet. They live in like the bottom of the ocean.
I've heard that. I've seen a video like that. I didn't know if that was AI. Thought that could have been AI.
No, it's not. I've seen them. And my great uncle was in the Air Force intelligence. This man read his Bible every day, would never lie. And he told me he's seen them and that they're angels and demons that live among us.
I believe
that. Which makes
some
more sense.
Which puts me to believe that, you know, there's all the talk about that we're actually in the Matrix. We're actually in a simulation.
No, we're in God's matrix. We're in God's simulation. He is the ruler of us. So, yeah, I kind of agree with that. Yeah. I don't think we're in some kind of computer program like the Matrix movie. But I do believe that we are in some sort of God simulation. He already knows our entire future.
I know.
Everything in the Bible has come true. Nothing has ever been debunked in the Bible. Not one single thing. And they've actually, more and more scientists are becoming Christians because they're proving they found the Ark. They found this. They find, you know, all these lost cities from when, before the floods, we didn't have all these big oceans, you know.
Right, right, right.
We had more land for more people. And he flooded us and reduced us. And now he's like, and the next time, you get to burn, you know, you get to burn. I don't want to be here for that.
Yeah, that's great.
I think I'd rather drown than burn.
Yeah.
Well, most people pass out from smoke first. So you don't actually like burn.
I'm not willing to take the chance. So I think I'm going to go ahead with the drowning, even though I hate the drowning sequence.
I just want to like, because Jesus is going to come save us before he burns everybody. I want to be with Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to do either of the drowning part.
I tell my kids all the time, I'm like, I'm not a perfect mom by any means. I'm a little, you know me. You can probably tell I'm a little bit a lot like ADHD. I have some emotional wreckage I'm, you know, trying to heal from like most of us, right? I'm not perfect. And I tell my kids that. And I'm the first one to admit I'm wrong and apologize. And I think that's really important to teach my kids. But I tell them, I'm like, I don't care what you do with your life. I don't care if you work at McDonald's. I mean, I really don't want you to do that because it's not good for you to work at fast food place. But at the end of the day, what matters is your soul. You know, this is a battle of your souls. That's all it is. The whole purpose of everything.
I like what Steve Harvey says is, I'm an entry level Christian. I like that. I'm like, you know what? I feel like I'm a Christian, but I'm not holy roller. I'm an entry level Christian.
See, I'm trying to be a holy roller. I'm trying to learn as much as I can because for so long I felt like it was good enough just to believe. But then I realized how can I believe in something I don't know enough about it? Mm. And the more I've learned, the more I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know crap. Like, I really need, and plus, like, if I want to be a real disciple, how am I going to battle evil if I don't have the knowledge? It's like working in real estate. How are you going to go out and be a good real estate agent and fight for your client if you don't know anything?
That is true.
It's the same thing.
That is true.
So it's really important. You know, God tells us to find something that we're good at, our gift, and just that's what you need to do.
I like the gift thing because I'm actually really big in the gift thing. The gift is what you do best with the least amount of effort. So yeah. That's your gift,
well,
right?
Because it's not effort when you're doing something that you truly love.
Yeah. And when you're doing something that is in your gift, everything is very natural. You're not having to force yourself onto things that you not intended to do.
You mean working in a factory as a factory laborer isn't like your sole purpose?
Not for 99% of people.
Yeah, I know.
That one person might be like, oh man, I just love it here. This is my gift.
Said no one literally ever.
There's probably that one guy that was like, you know what? I just...
SpongeBob.
That's it.
You know, he's like... I love SpongeBob because he just always has such a good attitude about everything.
Yeah, that is a good point. That is a really good point.
At least my laugh isn't like that.
Yeah.
It is contagious. A lot of people are like, I never watched SpongeBob, or I wouldn't allow my kids to watch it. I'm like, why? He's a good role model. He has a great attitude. He's the greatest work ethic of any person ever.
You know,
and he's so loyal to everybody, and he's kind, even people who like Squidward.
Yeah, I didn't watch that much SpongeBob. I did more cartoon wise was probably more Simpsons.
See, and that for me, I feel like was more inappropriate because there was a lot more adult humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then like.
Not that you even get it when you're a kid.
No, you don't. You don't. But when you get older, you're like, wow, okay.
I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. My just the other day, actually, because I have two sons and they're 10 and 12. One of them fell down or something and I did the Nelson. Right?
My dad did that all the time.
So
all
like,
the time.
Then one day... There's actually a YouTube video of just Nelson's laugh.
Yeah.
And it's like 5 minutes long. And it's just like every single episode of him.
I could not stand they on that show.
Got such a kick out of that. I thought that was so funny.
I like Ned Flanders.
Yeah.
The Holy Roller. How he do? Yeah. He was scream, you know, and run at everything.
Yeah.
He was like. Just scared. He was so like flamboyant.
Yeah, I like Ned. I mean there's so many good characters.
Marge,
on that.
Lisa. Not Lisa, Maggie, the baby.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I loved Marge. She's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's funny as the episodes go on, like Krusty the Clown became more tired. As like the years went on.
He creeped me out.
And then
I didn't like him.
And then who else?
He's like bad Santa.
Yes.
I never liked him.
Yeah.
I don't like clowns in it.
Barney got more drunk.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
As he went.
See, like I said, that is not appropriate for children at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, he hangs out in bars, smokes cigarettes on there and all kinds of stuff. And people like, I don't let my kids watch SpongeBob. And I'm like, why? Sandy the squirrel is like brilliant redneck squirrel. I'm like, it's just like me. They used to call me Sandy when we went camping. That's not why they called me that. That's what I pretended like.
Oh, okay.
I was so smart and I'm kind of a redneck, but they would call me that because I'm like ADHD and I'm a squirrel.
Mm, gotcha.
So my nickname camping was Sandy. I have a lot of nicknames.
Yeah.
The connector is just the one I tell people.
That's the one that everyone knows you by.
Here, not back home.
Right, yeah. Yeah, your new life.
Yeah.
Your new business life.
I got that name before I moved here, like a year before I moved here in real estate when I joined Title, but that was very new.
And then it just stuck.
Yeah.
But it's...
It's catchy.
It's easy to...
It's a good brand.
Reference, yeah.
Back home, it was more like Yellow Pants or Pooper Scooper or something random. KFC.
It's a good thing you lost that Pooper Scooper one.
I haven't. I go back home and they still... People will post on my Facebook, "Happy birthday, Pooper." I'm like, oh... That's been my nickname.
Some nicknames are hard to kill.
That's been since like 1985.
I know. I was talking about nicknames yesterday. So it was the NFL draft. In the NFL draft, there's all these commentators. And one of the guys' name is Booger McFarlane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when you got to like 13, 14 years old, you know, shouldn't you just go by like James or
not
Bobby? Just drop the boog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were just kind of laughing about that yesterday. I was like, I think when you get to a certain age, you're kind of just ready to drop some of those nicknames. Yeah.
But other people won't allow it.
Yeah. Family that's members.
Or friends that you grew up with. Or I grew up in Caney Lake, and that's where I lived basically till I lived other places in between, but mostly that area. That's where I was living when I moved, before I moved here. And you know, when you grew up in the same area, people just, that's what they know you. My last name was Cooper, so Karen Cooper, the Pooper Scooper.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that one was definitely hard to kill.
So.
I can see that.
There's a Nancy Cooper here. She's a realtor. Have you met her?
I don't know her.
She was called the same thing.
Really?
And my dad said he was called the same thing. I'm like, y'all are so original.
Wow. No, I know of her, never met her. There's only 45,000 of us in Greater Houston.
That's it?
40...
Probably not now. I think a lot of people didn't renew. It was like 20% or something high.
But then we also gained new agents.
Really?
I don't know how many.
Why? Why would you do that right now?
Because some people are just wanting to get into real estate and just try something new and different. And some people just like,
let me
give this a whirl.
It's so saturated that it's very difficult to become successful unless you just have a really good network of people who are actually going to trust you and give you business. And everybody you know already knows 5 other realtors at least.
And especially like me, I am probably Facebook friends with 3,000 agents, I would say.
I'm Facebook friends with probably 4,000 or 5,000.
Yeah. And then...
Well, I say 4,000 because I have like some friends and family on there.
Yeah. It's probably like 500.
But I have to like delete people on a regular basis. So I go into the birthdays. I don't... Who's this person? Delete. Mm. Like people from back home.
Yeah. Yeah. I've started doing it because I have...
Because I ran out of... You ran out of space.
Yeah. I ran... into 5,000 friends, and then I go, okay, who have I not talked to in the last 2 or 3 years, or sometimes 10 years? And then it's like, okay.
People are like, I tried to add you, but I can't add you. I'm like, I don't have any space. I got to go in there. And they're like, what?
I gotta go delete.
Why we have to be limited to 5,000 people? That's so dumb.
You hear that, Zuck?
Doesn't Facebook want you to have more people?
I think Facebook thinks that you can't have more than 5,000 real friends.
Duh. They don't know me.
They're like, you need to go to Instagram for that.
I don't know a lot of people on my Facebook page. I have another Facebook page from back home that's like super old that I rarely get on there. And every once in a while I'll get on there just because I can actually see my friends and family.
Oh, yeah.
Because the algorithm is all real estate on my other page because it's really, I just use it for real estate. But my other one, I can actually go on there and see what my friends and family are up to. So I'll get on there once in a blue moon and get on there and scroll. And I know every person on there. And I still have 3,000 friends.
Oh, well, that's still a lot. That's still a big number. So let me ask you this.
It's really not. If you think about every person that you went to school with and college and worked with, or family members and in-laws. And
I want to say... Before I got into real estate, I think I had 700-ish, maybe, on there, which was like high school,
close friends,
college, family, friends of friends type things. Probably like 700-ish, because I got on Facebook in 2009, And I was already 4 or 5 years out of college. So I kind of missed.
Telling your age there.
I know. Don't do the math, people. Don't do the math.
I think we're the same age. Ish.
80.
Me too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Don't do the math, people.
What month?
November.
Oh, I'm actually older than
you. Oh, man. Sorry.
Almost a year.
Oh. More sorry. You must be January then. Yeah.
4th. That's cool because, like, it's easy to remember how old I am. It's like 2000, I was 20. 2001, I was 21.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And, like, the whole year.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like that for the whole year. It's easy.
Yeah. It makes it a little easier.
That does make it easier.
I don't have to do a lot of math. But the other day, I forgot how old I was. And my husband was like, you don't know how old you are? And I'm like, I just don't really care anymore.
Yeah. You're like, I cared at 18, 16, 18, 21, 25, 30. And then skip to 40.
I had a huge, well, everybody forgot my 30th birthday. So I had a huge 40th birthday. It was like a wedding. My friend Taryn threw it. I didn't know she was going to get that crazy. Walk in, it literally looked like a wedding, like decorated, like a reception. Cake, fancy cake, tables decorated, pictures of me everywhere. Some joke pictures.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I have some good friends that, you know.
Held it down for you.
Yeah.
And but then
it was a good time.
I know. And then you hit 40 and you're like, okay. And
they
then
picked me up in a party bus.
Oh.
At 9 a.m. and took me ziplining and started giving me booze at noon.
I'm surprised you made it to the end party.
I paced myself as long as I possibly could.
Yeah.
But it was such an eventful day. I didn't eat much. It's like a wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It just.
I think by like 10 o'clock, they had to take me to Whataburger and I ordered.
Two meals or what?
So
two meals.
I ordered a what is that? Patty melt.
Okay, and then the chicken.
I was so hungry. I ate the whole patty melt, and my ex-husband and my best friend were with me, and they're like, "You already ate that?" And I was like, "I am starving. I need another one." And my ex-husband was like, "You're not getting another one." I was like, "I want another one. It's my birthday. I will eat it." And he's like, "I am not, you do not need to eat another hamburger." And I'm like, "Give me another burger." I was about to have like a conniption fit. Cause I'm like, why, who are you to tell me? And then shortly after that, we separated.
Oh, so did you get it?
No.
Oh.
He would not let me.
I've never heard of a patty melt causing a divorce.
Well, that's not, it was just the.
Was it the catalyst? Was that the.
It's just the fact that he was so like. Just like bossy.
It was almost and like,
he'd always be like, he would always say comments to me like, "Oh, you just know everything. Oh, Karen knows everything." I'm like, "I don't know everything, but sometimes I do know things and you literally don't know anything. You just."
Yeah.
You know those people.
Yeah. I know a lot of agents like that.
Wasn't gonna say it. I know.
I used to have a number of agents on the ish list. And now it's really, I've forgiven everyone except for like two.
Teach their
own. Two or three.
We all have to grow up. I mean, I was a know-it-all at one point in my life, you know, I'm sure. But I know I don't know a lot of stuff. And I don't want to know everything.
Yeah. That's how AI is. AI wants to tell you everything. And sometimes
it's wrong so much.
It's going to give you a lot of times not correct information. Not because it wants to give you not correct information, because the questioning might not be correct.
It doesn't have a rational brain.
Sometimes.
It doesn't.
Depends on the question.
That's what I'm saying. You have to question it right. So, speaking of which, there's a lot of hype around AI right now. What are the agents getting completely wrong?
I think it's not what they're getting wrong. It's what there's a lot of noise.
Yeah.
That's the hard part. There's a lot of AI noise.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Misinformation.
Well, it's
assumptions.
Like, I see on my Facebook, you were talking about like you see like real estate. My Facebook is 100% AI ads. I see an AI ad.
Because it knows that's what you've been doing for the last 2 years, or how long have you been doing this?
Like a full year.
Full year.
It knows that like I'm talking about AI, I'm working in AI, I'm doing things with AI systems. And so it's feeding me tons and tons and tons of ads. And I'm looking at every single ad because I'm thinking, I'm really looking at the ad because I'm thinking, how easy is this for actually someone to do this?
Right.
95 of the ads on Facebook about AI and real estate agents aren't good because it's too confusing.
What's confusing about it?
There is not a clear path to a goal. So right. So it's basically like
there's no instruction.
There's well, especially the big AI stuff, like the 11 Labs, the Hagen, the Galaxy AI.
Perplexity.
Well, those are like AI cloning systems.
Okay.
Perplexity and Claude and like ChatGPT. Those are like AI systems that you are conversating with and building systems with. But there are none of them really have instructions.
Right. It's kind of every AI program does something, specializes in something kind of different.
Yes. Yes.
So like Claude is really good at making documents. Is that correct? Or well, like information?
I tell people in my classes like this, the AI systems, most of them, I tell it like this to make it very easy to understand. AI systems are like Keller Williams, RE/MAX, and EXP. They all do something very different process to get you to a similar goal.
Right.
Right. Keller Williams has agents. They have a process that they use to get their agents to get them to a similar goal. RE/MAX, same thing. Get their agents and their clients to getting homes and property sold.
Right.
So all of them kind of do the same thing, getting you to a goal. They just kind of do it in different ways.
Right.
So, but yes, they're all.
But some are better at like making images or making content or making complex, like if you wanted to do like a, what is it called? Like a slideshow or, you know, like graph, you know, doing graphics, like graphs, like where you're putting like, what is the word I'm looking for? Like
to make graphics or to make like graphics?
Yeah, where you have like information, like pie and.
Well, it's funny.
What is the word I'm looking for? I cannot think of
it. Well, it's the interesting thing about it is to me, they jump over each other because like for a long time when it first started, ChatGPT was like the one and only.
Right.
And then you had Claude that came in and jumped over it. And then Claude was better. And then you had Perplexity come over the top and do some other things better. And then ChatGPT had an upgrade and then they came back
over. They just had another upgrade.
And so the systems are constantly upgrading and they're constantly in a way hurdling each other to get upgrades,
to do better. So do you need to have all of them or what?
If you're a real estate agent, I would say no. I would say stick to one.
Which one is your favorite for a real estate agent right now?
Most real estate agents just need ChatGPT.
Why is that?
Because it's the most simple.
Okay.
I think most real estate agents and lenders and brokers and whoever else is a real estate professional can probably do 95% of what they need to do with ChatGPT, and that it's fairly easy to work with. If you want to jump into Claude, please be my guest, but please be ready for a couple of growing pains. Perplexity, a little bit of the same thing. I mean, and they, like I said, they all do kind of the same thing. But to me, ChatGPT is the most basic, easiest to use, and where you can jump on it, figure out what you need, and jump off. Now, if you're going to use something else...
It glitches a lot, though.
It can.
If you're trying to make an image or something, it's like constant, like, you know, distortion or misspellings or...
It can.
I still use Canva all the time because trying to get ChatGPT to make me a flyer or something is like, it's, I have to do it so many times. I might as well just go on Canva and do it and it'll be done faster.
I think Canva is...
Because now Canva has AI in it.
Yes.
So it'll make you a flyer, but then you can go in and edit it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do is I tell it what kind of flyer I want through the AI tab or button.
Right.
And then it makes me like four flyers to choose from. But like today I'd had one done because I like to take things and combine them together that don't even go together.
Mm-hmm.
Like Cinco de Mayo and a title trivia real estate class. And it's like, what? This makes no sense. Or like I'm doing a golf Cinco de Mayo that afternoon, which it actually designed me this really cool little Mexican man with golf clubs.
And that was on Canva?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I thought that was cool. But the one it made me today for my trivia class was terrible. I had to basically just...
Scrap it.
I had to just do it all from scratch.
Mm.
Like delete everything. I kept like some of the title because I liked the font. And I scratched everything else.
Yeah.
All the images, everything. And I just pulled my own images and put them on there. But again, it still took me 20, 30 minutes to put it together. Had I been on ChatGPT sitting there to redo it, it'd take you an hour.
It can. So ChatGPT just came out with the new images week or last few days.
Oh, I got the update. Like, I don't get on there. Like, I get on there like some, but I saw the update yesterday or today.
Yeah, they have a new image builder, which is good.
You recommend paying for ChatGPT?
1,000%.
Yeah, because I pay for it.
Yeah, if... The $20 a month to me is probably worth $200 or $300 a month.
For sure. 100%.
Easily.
What I do too is like, for instance, like this, make me a title and a description for, you know, I have to give it information, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will pick the best one. And then sometimes I still edit it, but it gives me like a base.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, where I don't have to come up with a whole description. You know, everything is an AI description on MLS now. You can tell they all look the same.
They're all look the same and they're all kind of written the same. And I'm glad you mentioned that because...
And they all have the dash. I'm like, take the dash out. And we know it's ChatGPT. Stop.
Yeah, it has symbols.
It always has a dash in it. And I can always tell they copied and pasted it and didn't edit it or anything, probably even read it, because it'll have dashes and weird stuff in it. And I'm like...
It has the characters in it.
Yeah.
So a couple of things. One thing I tell every single class that I've had since the very first one is that the new cardinal sin of AI is to... Have your client ask you a question.
And send them a response with ChatGPT.
Or Claude, or any copilot, or Gemini, it doesn't matter.
And explain why.
Because we will not have an industry in the next 5 to 10 years. 100%. Because an agent's going to get this question from their client, and then they're going to go to ChatGPT. And they're going to copy and paste that answer. And then their client is going to look at that answer and they're going to say, you didn't write this.
100%.
Then.
But can't you train your AI to make it sound like you?
Yes, about to go to that point.
I've trained mine.
So then.
But I still go through and edit it all the time.
But people are lazy. And so they don't. So then their client's going to go, you didn't write this. I could have done this. And the third thing is, which is the worst piece of all of this, what am I paying you for?
Right.
100%. That is the dagger in the industry.
Yep.
What am I paying you for?
Yeah.
If you are just going to go to ChatGPT and give me the answer, I could have saved 6 minutes and just done that myself. So I told every single person.
People don't understand that customer or client doesn't understand that even though you're doing that, it doesn't make you less valuable. You still have to have, like we were talking about, a rational brain and being able to put all these pieces together and understand how to read a report from an inspector and communicate with all these different people in the title company. And it's going to be a long time before title is taken up by AI, because a lot of our stuff is stuff you have to use common sense for and make decisions on. And a lot of it is in title companies that are still old school.
Yeah, it's true.
So old deed restrictions and old deeds and stuff, if it was before the internet, which there's a ton of, I mean, we see some crazy stuff, you know, like, oh, you can't sell this to an African American. I'm like, what? Have you seen that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you go to, like, you know, Huntsville, Jasper, like those little areas up there. Yeah, I've seen a few where it says you can't sell it to an African American. We have to actually have an attorney, like, write something up saying that this is fixed.
Like the
to
law,
have it
like,
removed.
Like the law can, or like the wording can be removed.
Yeah, because you can't sell it to an African American, but it says you can't sell it to an African American.
Oh my gosh.
Because these people back then were like, I don't want my property sold to some African American racist people. You know?
Wow. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. You
Never
know, 80 to 100 years ago, they were writing that in the deeds.
Yeah.
So if you have a property, like you have a farm that's been passed down, now they're finally going to sell it, which is happening, which I'm like, stop selling. Don't sell it. Just don't sell it to a corporation.
Yeah.
Sell
yeah.
it to a person.
Right.
Or divide it up into like 15 acre sections and sell it to a person. But don't sell it to corporate America, please, for the love of God. Right. But yeah, they're selling it because these kids, they don't care about it. They don't want to. They just want the money.
Mm-hmm.
And which is so sad, because to me, land is way more valuable than anything you're ever going to blow your money on.
Yeah.
That's why we work in real estate, right?
Mm-hmm.
My
mm-hmm.
husband's always like, you sound like my dad, because his dad, you know, he was born in the early 40s and he grew up on a farm, super poor, and he bought all these farms around him and just kept, you know, accumulating more and more. And his dad was just like, buy more land, never sell, never, you know, it's the most valuable thing. It'll never decrease in value.
It's like a John Dutton.
Well, I say the same thing, and my husband's like, you sound just like my dad. I'm like, this is true. There's nothing more valuable than land. There's no more of it. The value of it, like to have your own land, you can do things with it. You can make income with it. You can lease it out. You can grow vegetables on it. You can put Airbnb on it because you don't have an HOA.
Yeah.
You know, you can do things with land that you can't do in a neighborhood.
Oh, millions of things almost.
I mean, you can sustainably live on your own. I was watching this thing about this guy out in Tennessee that he's on YouTube. He lives basically like a, what are they called? With the hats and the dry wagons.
Yeah, not the pilgrims. Oh my gosh.
What are they called?
Quakers?
Quakers. Yeah, ish. What, Amish.
Amish.
Good yes.
grief.
I know. Amish furniture is like the best furniture, right? But he's living basically like that. He has a wagon. He has no electricity. He has a phone line. He said he pays $90 a month for his phone line because it's so hard to get a regular phone line now, because everything's internet phone, which I hate, because here our internet goes out from a storm and then our cell phones get knocked out because of the storm. We don't have landlines.
Yeah.
You can't get a landline in the Woodlands, apparently, because I've asked.
Wow.
I want a landline for emergency purposes because I have a bunch of kids at home. And if I'm at work, my dad got us walkie-talkies, like 5-mile walkie-talkies. I'm like, Dad, we're more than 5 miles apart. I love my dad. And it's great, like, if they're at school and they're all trying to like meet up, but they don't carry their walkie-talkies to school. We really use it when we go to like the farm and we're hunting and spread out and doing fun stuff. But
remember when we used to have like Nextel?
Yeah.
Was that like that was kind of like a walkie-talkie?
Oh, on the border, they still use those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Nextel? They come over and they use them as walkie-talkies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. I didn't know they still had those. I didn't know those were still like an actual thing.
Yeah. Yeah. The old school people, I guess, still using them. Well, in Mexico, they don't give free phones to the homeless. So.
Who knew? I know.
So anyway, so another question I have for you is, what are 2 to 3 specific ways a real estate agent can start using AI today that actually will move the needle?
I was talking to an agent just about 2 weeks ago, and she brought up something that was such a great, easy idea, and I hadn't really even thought about it for years. And this is going back to almost the beginning. A long time ago, in hard.com, there were blogs. And those blogs were super popular because someone would write a blog about, I'm looking to buy a house in this part of town. And they would ask.
Oh, it's for the consumer.
Yes. They're agent blogs and consumer blogs.
Okay.
So a consumer could ask a question and then all the agents would come in and answer the question.
Kind of like I Love Conroe.
Yes, but it's on hard.com, right?
Or like, I Love the Woodlands. I'm looking for a realtor. I'm like, don't do that.
Oh yeah, it's like, oh, it's painful. So, so the blogging is now really coming back.
Really?
Because the AI recognizes MLSs like hard.com. And if you are utilizing your personal HAR profile,
right?
You can write, I had my personal profile about this
that
long.
I'm the best realtor and blah, blah, blah.
No.
Oh.
It's not what you do. But my little blog
was... So when they chat, GPT, who's the best realtor and blah, blah, blah.
But that's kind of how it works, right? In a way. You don't want to write that, but that's kind of how it works. So I went from a little blurb about 2 paragraphs to now my profile is about this long. With all the stuff I've done, all the stuff that I've, who my best clients are, where I'd like to, who my...
very specific.
It's very, very specific.
Because it wants you to be specific and not general.
Yes.
Like you're just saying, don't put I'm the best.
Yes, don't do that. That's silly. And they give out awards because everyone's the best. So, but you want to write out, and you can have ChatGPT help you in this, write out an AEO,
right,
answer engine optimization blog on your HAR profile about yourself. Everything about clients, who you like, who you don't like, not don't like working right with, like your clients that you don't go after. So everything.
Because everybody specializes in something.
Yes.
Like somebody from Houston isn't going to know how to sell a mobile home on land with a septic tank and a well most of the time.
Exactly.
Right.
So
that's how I was getting business where I live from, because I would go into San Antonio or Austin or the cities and market myself to agents. Hey, I do this. I know all these things. If you have somebody, refer them to me. I give 30% referral fee. And they're like, you know how many leads I got that way?
A bunch. Free.
And they still help you sometimes. Mm-hmm. You're not on your own, because a lot of times it's their friend or family. So you get a little help. They're getting 30%. You can still get a little help. One time I needed somebody to come out and open a house because the stupid Supra wasn't working. The battery died. Mm. And, you know, thank goodness I had that relationship. You know, otherwise I'd been paying somebody, you know, $100
okay. Yeah. $200. SOS.
Well, it was in the middle of nowhere, so it's not $50 like it is in town. They're going to charge you a lot more money, especially right now.
Yeah.
You know, because so, right now they have that app that you can just pay somebody like $50 to go open a door. Or
yeah, it's
whatever.
As low as $25.
Is it? Which is really cool.
Yeah, it's good if you get in a bind, if you need to show a client, and maybe you have three clients you're showing on the same day, and you can't be everywhere at once, and so that's going to be like an hourly assistant is the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
And so, but going back to the
yes
setting up your profile, yes, if brand new agent, day one, I would say set up your hard profile. Even if you have not had a single client, write who your preferred clients are, write where you live.
You might be a teacher and you know teachers. You might be, you know, a fireman and you know a bunch of firemen. You can put that in there. You might have grown up on, you know, in the country, or you lived in a condo unit, or you know rental contracts because you rented a bunch of places. I mean,
all of that.
You're gonna have some knowledge of something and use that.
Yes, especially like you said, like your current occupation is a firefighter, you're a part-time agent,
and I grew up here, and this is, I know this area really well. And especially when you grow up places, you know things nobody else knows.
Oh, that's and that's why if people position themselves correctly, mm-hmm. they won't get eaten up by AI.
Yeah, because like Canyon Lake, I have realtors like telling them to go live in some neighborhood. I'm like, absolutely not. No.
Yeah.
You do not want to live there.
Yeah, same thing.
Do you like meth heads? Probably not. There's a little section called Methlehem for a reason.
Ouch.
Yeah. Ouch. But people don't know that. And these realtors from San Antonio are coming out there, or even New Braunfels coming out to Canyon Lake. Same thing here. You have people coming in trying to sell stuff at Lake Livingston. They know nothing about the area.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous to do that. It's better for you to refer to somebody who knows what they're doing and just get the referral fee.
I am going to make a great point about referrals in about 10 minutes. We're almost there. So what the new agent's going to do, right? They're going to fix their hard profile.
Yeah.
First thing they're going to do.
Number one.
Number two,
Facebook?
I'm almost there.
LinkedIn.
That was my next point.
Sorry.
So let me finish. I'll get you there. Squirrel. I'll get you there. So hard number one. Hard number two is start blogging. Okay. Because.
How often do you recommend them doing that? Once a week? Once a month?
No. I would say minimum once a week.
Okay.
Once a week. And okay. Here's something interesting. I never go to Copilot. I never use Copilot.
Why?
It's just.
Inaccurate?
No. It's just, I just don't use it. It's not a personal thing. Anyways, the other day I opened Copilot and I typed in, who is Freddie Palomares? Okay. The first thing it pulled was my HAR profile.
Wow.
It said, because it recognizes HAR as a legit source.
That's hilarious, because I did the same thing today. Not because I knew we were going to talk about this. I actually deleted social media from my phone today to take a break over the next couple of weeks, because I've been overloaded too much.
Yep.
I get it on my computer still. But I didn't want it, so I deleted it. But I had to get on Facebook for something, so I just went to the internet browser, mm-hmm. and I searched Facebook Karen the Connector. And instead of it taking to the link, it pulled up my, you know, what it knows about me.
Yes. Yes.
I'm like famous, Karen the Connector. I was kind of shocked, and you can scroll over to the next page. There's more, but I was actually going to post something about that, which I'm going to do now, because I'm going to tell people to listen to the show and how we talk about that. That really,
it's
kind of crazy. So you should be searching yourself to see how you're popping up.
Yes.
And then and you can ask ChatGPT how can I make myself more visible? What can I do? And it's going to tell you what to do.
Yes, and it even so it said Freddie is a real estate broker that specializes in AI systems.
The goat of AI real estate.
Yeah. So it went on to a full on AI systems that I built, Realty by AI, Easy Real Estate. It went on to these systems, which was cool. And I was like, oh, that's very interesting. But the very first thing underneath that was like, where's the information coming from? It's coming from har.com.
Right.
My profile. The next thing below that was the blogs I've been writing inside of Har. So like, so to me, Har, your profile and your blogs is more precedent than LinkedIn. It takes precedent over everything else, over Facebook, over for agents, right? Over Facebook, over any social media.
Why is that?
Because Har.com is a trusted real estate source.
Okay. And it knows that.
It knows that. So it's
where anybody can put anything on social media.
Yes.
It's like lying on your resume.
Yes. So
it's like being catfished.
I've never had that happen.
You but haven't?
No. I've never been on a dating site, so.
Oh. I got on there once.
And you were catfished? One for one?
Opposite of catfish.
What's the opposite of catfish?
Well, I've told the story many times, but I was playing around with my friend and we were searching like how to meet ranchers. We were just playing around.
Oh, yeah.
And Farmers Only came up and we made a profile. And then my husband messaged me and said, hey, I can help you with your landscaping company. And well, he can't. He's like a heavy equipment operator license and an industrial engineering license. And he has a ranch management degree and he grew up on a farm. I didn't know all that about him. I just thought he was some construction worker guy trying to get work during COVID. I didn't know he was laid off of his very prestigious engineering job and couldn't find a job because it was COVID. And was just looking at ways to make extra money. He went back to the farm, his family's farm, and was working and helping out there, but he was looking to make extra money. And so I went and met him. I was dirty and sweaty and wearing a t-shirt and shorts and tennis shoes, thinking I was going to meet a construction worker. And he shows up and I'm like, that's not what I was expecting, because he's very handsome and clean.
Oh.
And very clean, and he was wearing like a polo. And
so when you say the opposite of catfish, you were expecting just a regular guy and the prince got out of the truck.
I was expecting like a blue collar worker, kind of rough.
Mm-hmm.
He does have like the redneck, farmer tan, but
yeah,
that's probably because he plays like golf and tennis. Okay, he plays tennis. He's like really good at tennis. Like, he's not your typical construction worker.
Yeah. I've never heard of a construction worker play tennis. They usually like to bowl and shoot.
But he can do construction and he can operate heavy equipment and he knows how to grade and drainage and he's very talented.
So that wouldn't be a catfish. That would just be like lucky.
Yes.
Not a catfish. That's just lucky.
It was a God thing. And I am extremely blessed. He is, obviously my dream person. And I was not expecting it, obviously. I went there and then the rest is history, right?
Yeah.
He's been on the show. We told our story. It's kind of crazy. But anyway, back to AI.
Oh, yeah.
So you feel like it is going to, so if you are looking for somebody to date, you might ask ChatGPT to find you a trusted source.
Wow. That is interesting.
I wonder if we could come up with a dating site with AI.
Yeah, you probably could. So I want to stay on that line right here real fast, right?
Okay.
What I started to build was an agent. What I'm building, that's still in the process, it's taking a little while, is an agent referral source.
Right.
So it is at the crosshair.
You've already built like a transaction coordinator program, correct?
Yes. This one you haven't heard of. This is a brand new one you're telling me. Yeah, this is totally different.
You haven't told anybody yet.
No one knows about this one, but I've been building it. So what it is, it's at the crosshairs of LinkedIn, Match.com, and Amazon. If you put all those together, this is kind of what it is. So if, and we're talking about real estate referrals, right? So I am an agent here in Houston. I have a friend that wants to move to Dallas. I would open up this program and I would say, I'm looking for someone that's in Dallas County, that's in 70421, that has sold at least 15 homes every year, that has at least 4.5-star ratings, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I go and look and there's profiles built of all of these agents that are in this network.
That's cool.
Because right now, the way it is,
you usually just refer to somebody in your brokerage.
Yeah, but there's so many brokerages that are just local.
Yeah, I mean, and they'll go give it to like a brand new agent and you're like, mm.
Well, there, let's just say if you own a brokerage here in Montgomery County, which there's so many, just mind blowing. And you have 10 agents, but you're only here. You're not in any other city.
Right.
Right. So
you can't refer
you wouldn't, to you wouldn't know where to go. So what do people do? They go to either LinkedIn or they go to Facebook and they go,
looking for an agent
All the time. Yes. So what this does,
and then you get 10,000 people tagging their person in their networking group or their friend or their family member, and it's not based on their credentials.
Yes. And that's what this is based on.
That's the problem.
This is based on,
and then you're, it's like scary. Who do you pick? Because your reputation is riding on the line when you refer your friend to these people.
It's hard.
That's why I'm very picky about who I refer to.
Yeah.
Or I just don't. I just say I don't know.
And so this is basically a database of agents. And the agents,
and you're building that.
Yes. And so the agents have,
so how do they get in? How do they get, like, so blogging, all that stuff is going to pick it up, and having a good profile in HAR, that's going to help them get the referrals.
So you can make a free profile in about 10 seconds.
And so if they want to be on your network, do they need to just pay like a monthly fee?
So there's not, so there's two options. There is a monthly fee one, which is like premium. Premium has, let's just say for Houston, right? It would have all of their HAR stuff. They can add in LinkedIn. They can add in Facebook. They can add in their YouTube. They can add in videos. They can add in PDFs of like homes they've sold or, right? There's a long about me. Then this, like, what are their specialties? Then you have 25 specialty types.
Right.
Luxury, townhomes, condos, sellers, buyers, renters, right? You have all of these different categories and you pick a handful of them, right? Of what you want to specialize in. Then you pull a radius. I'm going to start at 77386 and I get 20 miles from that.
Okay.
So I can't go sell. This is not me going and selling in Galveston.
Right.
Or going and selling in Katy. I am just on this 25 mile radius.
And you'll get those referrals.
And you'll get those referrals.
Cool. Right?
So
how much is that premium?
I think it's going to be $29 a month.
Okay. And then there's like a non-premium?
There's a free one.
Free?
Free.
And that would be useful?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. People that just want to be on, you know, the free ones has like their name, phone number, email address, areas that they work. So it still has information, but the premium one has like all of their,
but
like,
it's not going to pull you from the algorithm if you don't have the premium, correct?
Well, let's just say like this. If someone wants to find an agent in 77386, right? Because you're going to write in your criteria. I want 77386 that does at least 10 deals a year.
Yeah.
Okay, I have 10 options.
Right.
Right?
I'm just saying, if you have a bunch of people on the premium and then you have people on the free, it's probably going to pull the premium people.
Well, it's going to pull
it's
both.
It's kind of the point of paying for it.
It's going to pull both, right? So the free people, you just can't get in. There's just not a ton of information.
Yeah.
It shows that they're there. They sell and their information,
but
their bio.
But nobody's going to choose them. Unless there's nobody in the premium for that area.
And that's and that could be the case too.
And in the beginning, yeah, that would be fine. But eventually...
Everyone starts out with premium. I'm giving everyone's going to get the premium deal.
In the beginning.
In the beginning.
Just to use it.
Just to use, so everyone's going to have videos.
And then eventually they'll have to start paying for it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like ChatGPT was free until you had to start paying for it.
Once it... once
they get you hooked.
The once everyone... once... you have enough people,
but you want people to see that it's working before they start paying for it, kind of. Yeah, that makes sense. Plus, you're probably going to have some glitches you got to have to fix and all that kind of stuff. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I want everyone to have the premium deal.
And you're going to roll this out in class on Tuesday?
Could. Could.
I would love that. Okay. So we're almost out of time. A few minutes, right? Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the website real quick.
Yeah.
GiveMeTheAgent.com.
Give me the agent. I like it. Where are you coming up with this stuff, ChatGPT?
I actually bought that website yesterday.
Congratulations.
I've been building the website, but I didn't have the name.
Was it cheap? Because usually stuff like that is kind of expensive to buy the domain because it's such a like catchy.
Give Me the Agent was cheap. One that I bought the other day, which is because I've been going through all these names, was... swipingagents.com because it is a swipe.
That just sounds sad. nope. That's kind of cool though.
But it is kind of cool though, right?
Like, we're just talking about like dating.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's a corner of match.
You really are kind of dating Amazon. Your agent until you make a decision to hire them.
But this gives a lot of information. So you feel comfortable like... Because, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, I work in that neighborhood.
I feel like there's going to be some serious creepers out there going, oh, she's cute.
But it's all agent only.
Going to this open house.
Agent only.
Oh, I know a guy who got his real estate license, and he was a complete and absolute serial killer psycho.
Oh.
Here. He wasn't around long.
Is he in jail?
I don't know. He disappeared.
Oh.
That was crazy, though.
Dead.
His ex-wife lives in Houston, and she had, like, a restraining order against him. And he was from the military, and he got his license, and he was up here trying to, like, creep on chicks. He turned out to be, like, psycho. So, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Anybody can get a license. It's like anybody can get an Uber thing, and then they become, like, creeps, you know?
Yeah.
Or they rob people. Because there's just been, like, incidents. They had that Uber teen is supposed to be safer, but now there's all these stories coming out.
It's not.
They're doing stuff to kids. Maybe not everybody has a past or has ever been caught.
Yeah, right.
Serial killers a lot of times have never been caught doing anything.
Yeah, so they have no information on them.
Correct. There's so many, how many unsolved crime, you know, killings and stuff.
I know. I've seen unsolved mysteries.
Billions. You know, the Texas killing fields?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Still unsolved. Anyway. Now it's easier because we have cameras and DNA and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have it like back then, but still.
Back in the 50s, it was like easy.
Or the 80s. A lot of this was 70s, 80s, 90s, the Texas killing fields. Okay. So how is AI changing the gap between top producing agents and everyone else?
It depends. I mean... AI is so new.
Do you
new.
Feel like some AI of the is... top producing agents that maybe are in an older generation are kind of getting left behind because they don't have technology like the younger people? Where the see like these really young people like in their 30s that are, you know, early 30s, late 20s, and they are just, their Instagram and Facebook is just spot on and they really know how to use all these programs and their Instagram just looks amazing because they use Instagram.
Yeah.
And they're already selling their friends' houses because their friends are getting married and they're buying homes. And I feel like
there is the older generation that, let's just say if you are in, let's just say 55 plus, and you are not like super established, those are the ones that are going to probably get left behind the fastest or first. If you are in that 55 plus range, but you are established and you are doing lots of business, I don't think it's going to affect you as much. It's the ones that are still finding their way that they're going to be the ones that get kind of left behind first. AI is a tool. It's a really, really good tool, but it's not end-all, be-all.
It's still a relationship business. Mm-hmm. So like you're saying, all those people that have those relationships, and have, most of them live on referrals. They're not.
Yeah.
They don't even get on social media.
Yeah. They're like, I'm not even. Not,
I have many clients that are older that do not even do social media.
Yeah.
And they're highly, they're the most successful people. I'm like, I want to be one of those people.
Yeah. They're like, we don't even, I mean, we use the internet for like dot loop and that's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. Hard dot loop, but they don't use social media.
And so like there's this big.
They might have a LinkedIn. Like I feel like a lot of older people have LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Probably.
Especially commercial guys.
Yeah. They have
all LinkedIn. Have LinkedIn. All my commercial guys are on LinkedIn. But Facebook, nope. Instagram, definitely not. TikTok, no way. They're like, I'm not getting on TikTok. Those people are stealing my information. Da-da-da-da. They're owned by another country, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're definitely not going to be on there. But the YouTube, I think, is something that we always forget about. And a lot of my agents that are like our age, maybe a little younger, they're killing it on YouTube.
Yeah. YouTube's good for a few reasons, but one of the reasons YouTube is good is because you can write long form, like your own blog about your video, mm-hmm. right? So,
and you can do shorts. So you have your full video with your shorts.
So you can,
which draws them to your video.
Yeah. So you use your shorts and use your long form, and then you can write out just like you did for your hard profile. You can almost write that same thing,
copy and paste.
But what, you know, a little bit more specific about what the video is about, but you still want to get those points across.
Yeah.
So like every time you do a blog, every time.
And you can make your YouTube video with AI.
Yeah. Yeah. Now,
which AI program do you recommend for doing something like that?
Galaxy.
Okay.
Galaxy AIs.
What about people who want to make videos like selfies talking about a property, or you know what they do, or giving tips and tricks? Which one is the best for that?
I use Galaxy.
I know people use Galaxy. Sora, but it's like going away.
They said Sora's going away. I haven't seen anyone use Sora in the last 2 or 3 weeks, so I think that's going to end up being something else. But Sora did not really pull your clone voice.
No.
And Sora did not exactly clone your face either. Correct. It got you close. It got you about 80%. 80% of the way.
So you think Galaxy is the best?
Galaxy is going to get you...
your clone and all that stuff.
Galaxy is going to get you about 95. You're teaching
people how to build a clone. It takes about 3 hours.
Yeah. One-on-one takes about 2.5 hours. In a class setting, it's about 4 hours. It's a master class. Which you do not have to know anything about how this works.
You're going to walk them through the whole thing.
Step
by step. And it's like $200, and then you have that clone forever.
It's $299.
Okay.
But you have the instruction forever. You have the ability, once you get out of class, you walk into class at 10 o'clock, you walk out of class at 2 o'clock, and you've been changed forever because now you know exactly
how to. It's the same price for a one-on-one?
Same price.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have to wrap things up, unfortunately.
Okay.
We could talk for probably 2 or 3 hours about all of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Easily.
Easy. I know, because you came to my class and we barely got through. So interesting. You're coming back this week. I'm super excited. I can't wait to celebrate what you're rolling out, the next thing and the next thing. And like I said, we're just going to keep doing this. And we'll do more podcasts too, because I know you're just going to keep coming up with more information.
I know. I have more stuff coming down the pipe.
I'm so excited. Thank you for coming on today, Freddie.
All right. Thanks for the invite.
Y'all want to reach out to him? All his links are in the description.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Bye.